Amen. And the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart just for this meeting tonight, the words of verse number 8 of Exodus chapter number 20, where it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now on Sunday, the 5th of May 2019, the Belfast Marathon was run on the Lord's Day for the first time. Despite what the organizers and indeed the press and media and general public said, it must also be said that it was very sad to see this desecration of the Lord's Day. And such an event points to an ever-increasing disregard for the Lord's Day here in the province of Northern Ireland. Well, throughout the Bible, the Lord is one who commands the observance of the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath to be kept as a day of rest and as a day of worship for the name of the Lord. And you and I are reminded of this commandment in our little text this evening, verse 8 of Exodus chapter number 20, where it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." In this chapter here before us, it lists for us the Ten Commandments. And by the Ten Commandments are God's moral law for every society, indeed for the good of every society. And that law is binding upon all men, all mankind, right to the very end of time itself. And here in verses 8 through to verse number 11, in particular of the chapter, mention is made there of the fourth commandment. And this commandment deals specifically with the keeping of the Sabbath day. Look at what it says in its entirety with regard to this command. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And in these verses here, God, he commanded that one day in seven be kept special as a day of rest and a day of worship. Now, up until the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the seventh day of the week was observed by God's people. And why this was due to the fact that God rested on the seventh day at creation after he had created the world in 6 days. However, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first day of the week was to become the Christian Sabbath. And why this is the day which we call today as the Lord's Day, or our Sunday, if you like, our first day of the week. And the Lord appointed this day as a memorial to Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. And also the Lord's Day serves as a reminder of the great rest of salvation that there is for poor and needy sinners through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. We are told that this was indeed the practice of the early New Testament church. It says there, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. And there you see, it was the practice early on in the early New Testament church for the Lord's people to meet together on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And what did they come together to do? It says, to break bread, to remember the death of Christ upon the cross. And it says, and Paul preached unto them. They gathered to hear the ministry, the preaching of the word of God. Can I say that this same commandment still applies in 2019, just as it did in the early days of the New Testament church? Hence, we are to heed, and indeed we are to practice, the fourth commandment, which says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, you and I, we live in an age whenever Satan is attacking the cause of Christ more and more. And one of his chief ways of doing so is an increased desecration and profaning of the Sabbath day. Therefore, as individuals, indeed as a church, we are to do all we can to maintain the sanctity of the Lord's day. While we're up at Balmoral at the stand on Thursday, a man came up to speak to me, and he was very, very irate at the fact that our church had protested against the running of the marathon on the Lord's Day. And he was extremely irate that we should protest against such a thing. When I said I agreed with the protest, and I thank God for it, and we do thank God for the witness of our church even in these issues, and pray that the Lord will bless that witness and use it for the glory of the Lord. But that being the case, that we are to remember the Sabbath day. The four things I want you to note regarding this command to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First of all, I want you to think about the reasons for keeping the Sabbath day. Why should we keep it? Well, it's a clear command of God. This is what our text says. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word remember there is emphatic. It's in the form of a command. This is God's command. Winston Churchill, he said that Sunday is a divine and a priceless institution. In other words, he knew that the keeping of the Lord's Day, the Sunday special, was a command of God. And dear people, the way for us to show our love to God whenever we are saved, and the way for us to prove that we belong to Christ, is but to obey his commands. Did not Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Did he not say, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you? And that being the case, let us then be careful to heed God's command of keeping the Sabbath day. Another reason for us to keep the Sabbath day special is because God has given us 6 days of the week for all our lawful pursuits and employments. Look at what verse 9 there says in Exodus chapter number 20. It says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And my, as God has given you and I 6 days for our labor and for our work, then there's no need for us to rob God of the Sabbath for the doing of that which is unnecessary in our works and in our pursuits. And then another reason also for us keeping the Sabbath day is that in observing the Sabbath, you and I are following the greatest of examples of all. And who is that example? That example is the example of God himself and the example of Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. What do we read about God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11? It says, wherefore the Lord rested the seventh day. He rested from the work of creation. What do we read about Christ in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21? It says, on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there you had Christ, while he was here on earth, gathering together with the people of God in the synagogue to preach and to teach the word of God at the place of worship. What an example there is even in Christ for us to follow in this matter of keeping the Sabbath day. Also in keeping the Sabbath, we follow the pattern of the early New Testament church. We've already mentioned their example in Acts 20, verse 7, when they came together to worship, to break bread, and to preach the word of God. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 16 also alludes there to the observance of the Lord's Day again, for it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And there Paul was speaking about the offerings for the Lord's work and the giving of God's people when they came together, no doubt, on the first day of the week to worship the Lord and to hear the ministry of his word. And another reason for us keeping the Sabbath as Christians is because of the fact it's a witness to this ungodly world. Think of how dark this world would be if there was no Sabbath day. If there was no one day in seven set aside for the worship of God. What does the Lord say to his people in Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17? He says there that the Sabbath day is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. In other words, it's a witness, it's a testimony. By the keeping of the Sabbath as believers in Christ is a witness that you and I belong to the Lord. Indeed, it's a sign that God has created this world in 6 days. It reminds man of God, the Creator, how he created this world in 6 days. I remember some years ago when we were over on holiday in England at a little church, I think it was down in another Somerset or Devon, talking to an elderly couple. They were believers. I think they lived in around somewhere near the city of Bristol. And they were saying how it was their practice, weather permitting, wherever their church was, it was within walking distance. And they would make it their practice, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, weather permitting, to walk through their housing estate, carrying their Bibles down the street, to go to their church, go to their place of worship. What for? To be a witness to the ungodly who knew them, who saw them walking with their Bibles in their hands to worship the Lord. And by our gathering together here tonight, even in this congregation, you and I are a witness to the ungodly here, even in the town of Enniskillen, that there is a God in heaven with whom we have to do, and that God is the great Creator who created this world in 6 days. And also by the keeping of the Lord's Day, it's a testimony before the world to the spiritual rest of God's salvation and the redeeming work of Christ on the cross. And Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and his resurrection is proof that God accepted his sacrifice on the behalf of sinners to save them. What does it say about Christ? For he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. And dear believer, in the meeting tonight, you and I, we bear witness of this great blessing to our community by our observance of the Lord's Day. And why the Christian Sabbath reminds us of the rest and indeed the pardon from sin that is found for sinners through faith and the atoning work of Christ. And Christ himself speaks of that rest and that great invitation. But he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our coming together is a witness of that rest. And my, our keeping of the Sabbath day is also a reminder and a witness of the eternal rest of heaven that lies before us and that awaits the people of God. What does the Bible say about the saints in heaven? It says that they do rest from their labors. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And our coming together is a witness of God, his creation, the fact that he rested the seventh day. It's a witness to the gospel. The great rest of salvation and pardon and peace and forgiveness that is found in Christ. And it's a witness of the eternal rest that lies before us for all who are saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the gathering tonight and you're not saved. Let me say this, if you are to know the rest of God's salvation in your heart, if you are to know the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, if you aren't be able to look forward to the eternal rest of God's heaven and of everlasting life, then now in time you must repent of your sins before God and believe the gospel and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. The hymn writer could say, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, I found in him a resting place. And he hath made me glad. If you're to know that rest that's found in Christ, that eternal rest of heaven, look forward to glory, then now in time, my friend, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. Yes, we see the reasons for keeping in the Sabbath day, but something else here to note, secondly, this evening, I want you to think also about the manner And what's the Sabbath day is to be kept? How are we to keep it? Well, it is to be kept as a day of rest, with the exception of works of necessity and mercy. All other kinds of work are to cease. And the Lord say, look at what the Lord says there in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 20. He says, but the seventh day, he says, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. It's to be kept as a day of rest, with the exception of works of necessity and mercy. And there are things we have to tend to in the Lord's day. But there's other things that we're to lay aside and tend to the other 6 days of the week. It's also to be kept holy. It says there in our text, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What does that mean? To keep it holy there means that man is to use the Sabbath to especially tend to the spiritual needs of his soul. This means it's a day for the worship of God. It's a day for the consideration of matters spiritual and indeed matters eternal. My man needs a day to keep these things in view. Man, he needs a day to consider God's word. He needs a day to tend to the all-important business of his soul. Therefore, it is the responsibility of us all to avoid as far as possible anything that would prevent us from keeping the Sabbath day holy. And as well as avoiding anything that would hinder us from keeping the Sabbath day holy, also we are to prepare our hearts for the right observance of the Lord's day. If you're going to meet somebody special, you're going to meet maybe some important dignity, you'll prepare for that meeting. You'll make the necessary preparation beforehand. And ought it not to be so when it comes to the Lord's day? And dear people, we read in the book of Proverbs that the preparations of the heart belongeth unto the Lord. And how are we to prepare our hearts for a right observance of the Lord's day? We prepare for the Lord's day by prayer. But by seeking the Lord for his blessing upon us as we gather together in the house of God. My, that is why it is so important to pray even for the services here in the Lord's day before we meet. That is why it is important, believer, for you to gather in the public prayer meeting before the services. And why it's important when you come into the sanctuary here to, as you sit down, to bow your head and prayer and to pray for the Lord's blessing upon us as we assemble together around the Word of God. Yes, it is a day that is to be kept holy. It's a day of rest, but also in our manner of keeping the Sabbath day, we're to give all the day to God. You look again at what our text says. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day there speaks of all the day. It just doesn't say Sabbath morning. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say Sabbath evening. No, it says the Sabbath day. And here, people, we see why it is scriptural for us to attend God's house morning and evening of the Lord's day as much as humanly possible. How we are to give the day to the Lord. Also, in our manner of keeping the Sabbath day, we're to keep it cheerfully, joyfully. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 118, verse 24? He said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He was glad and joyful in the Lord's day. Again, the psalmist could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. My, our Sabbath is a day for praising God, a day for thanking God for his mercies. Oh, let us give this day cheerfully to the Lord. For the Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Also in our manner of keeping the Sabbath day, as the Lord's people, we should seek the infilling and indeed the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us as we gather together for public worship. What does it say about John? Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. At that time, John was banished to the Isle of Patmos, a rocky island, for his faith in the gospel. He was cut off. But he knew the blessing of God. He knew the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon him. And it was a day of great blessing and great delight to his soul. When he saw the great visions of the Lord, he could say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And brethren and sisters in Christ, that is something you and I should pray for every Sabbath day. That God would pour out his Spirit among us. May the Sabbath will be a great delight and a great blessing to us. That is something Christ commands us to pray for. Turning your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11. Look there at the great promise here of Christ regarding God's people praying for the Holy Ghost. He says in Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And that's what we are to pray for. Oh, it's right, yes, to pray for the preacher. Whoever it is ministering God's word, that they will know that anointing and filling of the Spirit of God. But pray it also for yourself, dear believer. Pray it for all who will gather around the word of God, that God would pour out his Spirit upon his people. And that it would be a day of great blessing, great gladness, as we assemble together. John says, I was in the Spirit. And the Lord said, the reasons for keeping this command, the manner in which it should be kept. Notice thirdly here this evening, the consequence of not observing the Sabbath day. What are the consequences? Well, we say tonight that the consequence, it is one of tragedy. It's one of trouble, I believe, for the individual, the family, the church, the nation, that willfully desecrates the Lord's day. By such an action, it incurs God's displeasure and it hinders the blessing of God. D.L. Moody, as you know, was a famous preacher of a bygone day, greatly blessed and used of God. And this is what he said about the Lord's day. He said, show me a nation that has given up the Sabbath, and I will show you a nation that has got the seed of decay. And you know, he was right. Bishop J.C. Ryle, one of the Protestant bishops of Liverpool in a bygone day, he speaking about the Lord's Day, he said this. He was a man of God, a man who spoke with great authority in his day. He said, prosperity and decay of English Christianity depends upon the maintenance of the Christian Sabbath. Break down the fence which surrounds the Sunday, and our Sunday schools will soon come to an end, and our congregations will dwindle away. Is that not what we see happening today, dear people? Before our very eyes, he was a prophet before his time. Desecration of the Sabbath was something that occurred in the nation of Israel in the days of Nehemiah. Turn with me in your Bible over to Nehemiah chapter number 13. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16. And you'll see this here for yourself. And look at what it says in verses 15 and 16 of Nehemiah chapter 13. It says, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves, that's bringing in the harvest, and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. There you read about the treading of the wine presses on the Sabbath day. There you read about the gathering in of the crops, the selling of food and the selling of goods. People, is that not a picture of our land today, of our own society? Sadly, more and more we see farmers in the fields on the Lord's day. People out working their gardens, people on building sites, shopping, all kinds of things, all going on. And the Lord says, things that are not necessary, things that are not needful. Look again there to Nehemiah chapter 13 and Look at verses 17 and 18. Look again at what Nehemiah goes on to say. He says, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath." What does that tell us? It shows us there that Israel's practice here in desecrating the God state, it was evil in the sight. Notice there the rebuke of Nehemiah. What evil thing is this that you do? It was evil in the sight of God. It was wrong for them to buy and sell and do unnecessary work on the Lord's day and the Sabbath. And people, God has not changed. He's still the same today as he was in the day of Nehemiah. And likewise, today it is equally wrong and evil in the sight of God to desecrate the Sabbath day and to buy and sell and to do that which is not necessary and not needful. Turn again over in your Bible to Isaiah chapter number 58. Isaiah chapter number 58. And look with me here at verse number 13. And look again at the inference of these words as the Lord here speaks to his ancient people about this matter of the Sabbath day. He says in verse 13 of Isaiah 58, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words." And again, those words, they really show us that in Isaiah's day, that the Sabbath day had become a day for pleasure, a day of selfish interest. And again, is that not a picture of our own society today? What is Sunday today, by and large, in our society? What is it? It's a day of pleasure. It's a day for self-interest, for sport, and pubs and clubs and all sorts of outings and amusements take place now on the Lord's Day. Oh, it is today as it was in the day of the prophet Isaiah and God's servant Nehemiah. Turn with me again further over to Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah chapter number 17, look at verse number 27, the final, very final verse of the chapter. Again, look at what the Lord says about his day here in Jeremiah 17, verse 27. He says, "But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." Here God was giving a warning to his ancient people. He warns here of his judgment coming upon Israel because they continued to profane the Sabbath. And judgment came upon them. And this is part of the reason why God allowed his ancient people to go into captivity for 70 years. Down into Babylon was because of the fact they did not keep a Sabbath and they neglected the Sabbath day. What a solemn warning this is to you and I and to our society today. People, here we see the lesson that those who knowingly profane the Sabbath, they will incur divine judgment and bring judgment upon themselves. You think tonight of the nations of Western Europe, of the continent of Europe. They were the first, by and large, to do away with the Christian Sabbath in the 19th century. And what followed in the 20th century? The two awful world wars that were mostly fought on European soil and the mainland of the continent of Europe. Why? A century before, by and large, those nations had turned their back on the Sabbath day, and it all contributed to the awful carnage of two terrible world wars upon European soil. My, in the past, Britain was once called Great Britain. That's how she was once known. She was once known as a mighty nation. At that time, there was, by and large, a keeping of the Sabbath throughout the nation of Britain. But you know, Britain is no longer great today. It's far from being great. And by and large, it is a nation who no longer has any regard whatsoever for the keeping of the Sabbath day. What does the Bible say? It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And what a warning that is, even to our own land, to our own province. If Northern Ireland continues to desecrate the Lord's Day, then as a nation, she's going to go down spiritually, morally, religiously, every way. It will go down as a nation. It has been said that as a general rule, there is a regular downward flight of steps from no Sabbath to no God. And that's what happens in the nation when there is no Sabbath. By and large, the nation thinks that there is no God, that they can live and do as they please. Oh, dear people, if we profane God's day, then we dishonor God, we disobey his word, we rob ourselves of the Lord's blessing, we incur his displeasure. And when there's no Sabbath day, we give rise to a generation that know not the Lord. That's how important this matter is. England today, by and large, and mainland Britain is a godless nation. I remember talking to the late Hillis Fleming many years ago. Her brother's long since gone to the glory. But when he ministered in Liverpool, it was back in the 1980s, he said at that particular time there was less than 3% of the entire population went to any public place of worship. And that at that time even included Roman Catholics and others caught up in false worship. And the percentage of that who were born again believers, you can guess, was very, very, very small. And he said that to me many years ago when he was laboring in Liverpool. And my look at the state of Britain today, it's in a mess. My, it's a nation by and large that thinks there's no God. Why? Because there's been no Sabbath for many years. My, after the First World War, by and large, the menfolk of Britain stopped going to the house of God. And it is a fact that after the Second World War, by and large, the womenfolk en masse as well stopped attending the house of God on the Lord's Day. And my, it has led to a downward spiral ever since in the nation and among the people. But one final thought I want to leave with you tonight, and that is the outcome of observing the Sabbath day. And God's blessing will rest upon those who keep the Sabbath. In Isaiah 56, verse 2, it says, blessed is the man that keepeth the Sabbath. Indeed, the Lord himself said that the Sabbath was made for man. Now, whenever man ceases from unnecessary work and pleasure in the Sabbath and gives one day to the worship of God and attendance at his house, that man will be blessed in his deed. Turn back there to Isaiah 58 and verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58 again and verses 13 and 14. Look at what the Lord says. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath and doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What was God promising here to his people? That if they kept the Sabbath day, he would bless them as a people and as a nation. And that is God's way. God blesses those who keep his day, those who gather together with other believers around the Word of God to hear the preaching of the Word of God. God blesses such people. Has it not been the case that many a soul has been saved on the Lord's day as they've gathered in the house of God to hear the Word of God? Has it not been the case that many a backslider has been restored to the Lord as they've gathered with God's people in the house of God to hear the word of God? Think of Thomas the doubter. It was in the first day of the week, the Lord's day, in John chapter 20, you read of him being restored to the Lord in fellowship with the Lord, and hence he cried out, my Lord and my God. God blessed him when he saw a fresh view of the risen Christ. And my, it has often been the case that when God's people meet together around God's word on the Lord's day, that they're strengthened in their faith and they're blessed as they meet together around God's word. Turn with me, please, over to Psalm 92. Psalm number 92. And look what is said here in verses 12 to 14 of Psalm 92. And let this be an encouragement to you, dear believer, in the age in which you live, to keep the Sabbath day, to keep the Lord's day. And God will bless you. And God, I tell you, will bless your home and bless your family as well. Psalm 92, verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish." That speaks of God's blessing upon his people who gather together, keep the Lord's day, meet together around the word of God. My, there's always a blessing. My, the Lord says in his word that those who love Zion, those who love the worship of God, that they shall prosper, that God will bless them as they gather together around the word of God. William Wilberforce, as you know, was the member of Parliament for Hull. He was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a man whom God used in his day in Parliament to bring about the abolition of slave trading in his day. And this is what he said about the Lord's Day, and I quote you his words. He says, "Oh, what a blessing is Sunday interposed between the woes of worldly business. Like the divine path of the Israelites through Jordan, there's nothing in which I would advise you to be more strictly conscientious than in keeping the Sabbath day holy." Brethren and sisters in Christ, may you and I seek to use every lawful influence, both privately, indeed publicly, by word and by example, to encourage the observance of the Lord's Day. Let us pray even to that end. And by God's grace and power, may you and I be those who remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, even unto the Lord. May that be our testimony for the honor of God, the honor of his word, the honor of his truth. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 467. 467, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." We're just going to sing the first and the fourth verse, verses 1 and 4, along with the chorus, standing as we sing 467. Stand as we sing. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. Bless Thy word and Thy truth to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as Your people, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, that we might be a witness, Lord, for Thee, and that we might know the blessing of the Lord abiding upon us, that blessing that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. We thank Thee, O God, that it reminds us of that eternal rest that we have in heaven through Christ. And even for any in our gathering this night that have not that hope, that cannot look forward to that eternal rest that is found in Christ, even, Lord, this night, may they come and put their trust in the Lord for salvation. Part us now with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks. Amen.